You're listening to OWW Radio,
the official radio show of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com.
All right, so here we are, living it day by day. You are a superstar, and you said what you used to always say.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of OWW Radio. This is the official radio program of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. Each week, OWW Radio will bring perspective to the WWE, TNA, and everything else making news in the world of professional wrestling. My name is David, and today I welcome to the program a true legend in the wrestling business, WWE Hall of Famer Superfly Jimmy Snuka. Mr. Snuka recently released his autobiography, Superfly, The Jimmy Snuka Story, co-written by John Chapman, and I'm looking forward to talking with him about his unforgettable career inside and outside the ring.
Hello.
Hi, good afternoon, Mr. Snuka. How you doing?
Good afternoon there, brother. How are you doing today?
Thank you again. Taking the time to join me.
All right. You're very welcome. Thanks for calling.
Congratulations on your recent publication, the autobiography called Superfly, The Jimmy Snuka Story.
Thank you very much, but I hope this whole world will love it.
For starters, how are you feeling? I know in the book you've had some recent medical issues you talk about. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, brother. You know, I had my ankle, you know, taken care of and everything after all these years. So I figured I'd take some time off and write the book and everything, so... You know, right now, my ankle, you know, I'm the Superfly Bionic Man now, bro.
I noticed that Rowdy Piper wrote the foreword in your book. Why did you choose him to write that?
Well, you know, we turned out to be pretty good friends, you know. And we asked him with John Chapman, you know, to see if he would like to do that for me and stuff. And he said, yeah, why not? You know, he would love to do it.
The introduction to the book is written by WWE soon-to-be Hall of Famer Mick Foley, and he writes that your famous cage match, the one with Don Morocco, inspired him to become a pro wrestler. How does it make you feel to know you had that kind of impact on other people?
You know, but since I was a little kid, you know, I was, you know, I loved to go play in the jungles and stuff, and fly on ropes like Tarzan. You know, I watched Tarzan, and that's what got me going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back in the islands. You know, when I got into, came to Honolulu, Hawaii, and seen wrestling going on and stuff like that. And, you know, then I got involved with it. Then I got involved in bodybuilding and martial arts. And, you know, I was ready to go in 1969 is when I first got it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I got you know, the Superfly from is from me diving off cliff with my cousins, you know, so that's how it all became, bro.
I thought your book was fascinating. I did not know any of those stories about how you became a pro wrestler. I want to go back to when you were born on the Fiji Islands. You still have deep roots there. Why are the islands so special to you?
Well, that's where I was born, you know. And the Fiji Islands got all these jungles like Tarzan was, you know. And but that's how I grew up and everything, brother, you know. And, you know, went to the Gilbert Islands, you know, and Gilbert Islands, Marshall Islands, Panape and Guam, you know, went to boarding school in Panape and all that. And so when I got done, you know, I came back to, you know, the Marshall Islands, and from there, I went to Honolulu, Hawaii.
On page 3, you write, "Everything about my early years was confusing." Can you briefly talk about your childhood and how that shaped you and motivated you into becoming a great athlete?
You know, brother, I was a young kid, and, you know, I always, you know, loved to grow up and, you know, follow up my cousins because they were older than me, and we were, you know, going to the jungles and, you know, we all raised up together and stuff like that. And, mm-hmm. You know, my cousin, you know, I love them so much, you know, deep down inside, you know, your heart that, you know, you feel like something's going to happen for me, you know. And, You know, then, like I said, brother, when I ended up in Hawaii, that's where everything started for me. And, you know, and I was still a, you know, youngster yet, you know, trying to figure out what's going on in this world. I never seen bodybuilding before, you know, and finally when I was in Kwajalein with the militaries and stuff like that, that's where I got involved in, you know, bodybuilding. Then from there, you know, I went to Honolulu, Hawaii, and that's where everything started all out for me. You know, I started, you know, watching the wrestling with my mom, and of course, God bless her, she loved it so much. And I just looked at her, and I didn't tell her anything, so I started training and getting myself ready for it, brother.
Well, there's a nice part in the book where you talk about how your mom turned you on to pro wrestling, and it became a real passion for you. I did not know, though, that baseball was such a passion, and that you almost became a professional baseball player.
Right. I played AAA in Honolulu, Hawaii, you know, and because I loved the sport. You know, baseball was my first sport that I ever got involved in. Mm-hmm. And when I went to Honolulu, Hawaii, I tried out for the Hawaii Islanders, you know. And at the meantime, I was training for wrestling, too, at the same time, so... You know, I didn't get any luck or anything else like that from baseball. So, you know, I figured, well, I guess I got another trademark to go and see what I can accomplish. And so I started bodybuilding and, you know, martial arts and training in school, you know, for the wrestling. And that's how everything started out for me, bro.
There's some fun stories in the book about when you were a kid. You were kind of a mischievous kid. You got in some trouble.
Oh, you know, brother, I was Tarzan, bro. You know, I was a jungle guy. I loved the jungle, you know. And every time my mom and dad would look for me, I'm gone. I've gone into the jungle, like, early in the mornings, you know. Mm-hmm. Especially when there's no school around. So I'm always out there in the jungle, like, all day long, brother. You know, and my mom would worry about me. And I even ended up building me, you know, a house tree out there, you know. And yeah, it was crazy, brother. I loved it. You know, it was just my trademark on, you know, what I did and grow up. And, you know, it's better, you know, especially like in boarding school and stuff like that. I was a really hard guy to try to go to school. Mm-hmm. For one thing, I didn't, not that I didn't like it, but my mind is always an outside kind of type of guy. I don't like to be locked inside a house, you know.
Sure.
So, you know, my old way of when I was growing up and everything, but it was just the jungle, you know.
You write in the book that the word fear is just not in your vocabulary.
No, sir, it's not. That's why, you know, I grew up with my cousins and I learned from them the things to, you know, to do, you know, work out and everything and, you know, make sure that keep diving and, you know, making sure, because they turned around to me and said, someday you might become somebody. Maybe you might be Tarzan. Who knows? So I told them, all right. So I just, you know, keep diving off cliffs and everything. And, you know, and when I got into professional wrestling, that's the first thing came to my mind, bro, is that I call myself the Superfly. You know, and that's what I named you know, the flying off the ropes in the cage, brother.
Mm-hmm. Tell us how Cowboy Frankie Lane changed your life.
Yeah, he was an awesome guy, but there was there's a gym called the Powerhouse, and it belonged to this guy, Dean Noguchi, you know, local boy from Hawaii, and he owned the gym, and that's why he go and train, you know, because mostly all the wrestlers come in there and train, you know, when they come to Hawaii for about a week or so to wrestle and stuff. And he asked Dean Noguchi, he said, who's that kid over there? He said, oh, that's Jimmy Snuka. He's training for Mr. Hawaiian Islands next month. So that's how it all became. So, you know, I did win the Mr. Hawaiian Islands in 1970. And, you know, right from there, he came and asked me, you know, Dean introduced Cowboy Frankie Lane to me, and I introduced myself, and he says, brother, he said, you're looking good. He said, how old are you? You know, and I turned around to him, I said, I'm only 23. And he says, man, he says, if I could train you to be a professional wrestler, would you like that? And I said, man, I said, I would love it. I said, all these guys that I associate inside the gym, they were professional wrestlers, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So he goes, okay. He said, if you train me how to work out, I'll train you how to, you know, become a wrestler. And that's how it started, God bless him, you know?
And then he took you to the Portland territory, correct?
That's where we first started, brother.
Mm-hmm.
He called up, you know, yeah, Don Owens was the promoter, bro. Called him up and he said, hey, wait till you see this kid I'm going to bring him to. And sure enough, brother, that place I was there for about a whole year before I moved out, you know, and go other places, you know, brother.
I became a wrestling fan in the 1980s, and I always liked going back and reading about the territory days. Tell me more about your time working in Portland and how that really shaped your whole career.
You know, but I was very lucky. You know, I was young. When I got into the wrestling business, you know, it's back in the old school psychology days.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was very impressed when I was learning, you know, all the psychology about wrestling. You know, why do you want to wrestle? You know, why do you want to get into this business? And, you know, they teach you all these things, you know, and they teach you, like, to prepare yourself for when you go into the ring and, you know, the next day, you know, always get ready, think in your mind, and, you know, and then the old school guy said, all right there, brother, okay, said, have you been thinking about some things? I said, you know, brother, I'm so excited, I can't even remember nothing. You know, yeah, I mean, I was just a young guy, you know, young and trying to learn the business and everything, brother. But, you know, with the old school comparing to these kids today, brother, you know, I feel bad about these kids today because they don't have much time.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see them rushing, you know, to do their match because maybe they only got, what, maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes, maybe not even, maybe 5 minutes. Like us guys in them days, brother, we used to wrestle 30 minutes, 40, 50, a whole hour if you're in the championship match. And that's just the way it is, and that's the way I broke into it. I learned so much psychology, you know, psychology from it, brother. And then when I meet all these kids on the road and stuff like that, they'll come and pick on my brain, and they said, how did you become You know, good in what you do. He said, because I paid attention and I listened because I wanted it so bad, you know, so I trained hard for it. And to me, that's the way the kids should look at it, you know, today. And, you know, stay away from the drugs and everything, brother, because it's not going to get you nowhere. Mm-hmm. And, you know, brother, so that's how it all started, you know, from the old school. Coming up, meeting all these young generations, and, you know, I love it. Like Mick Foley was in the crowd, plus some other guys. I didn't even know that. Yeah, but I didn't even know that. I was so happy, you know, and I was very, you know, like, you know, impressed about this whole thing, you know what I mean?
Well, the Portland territory also had a tremendous amount of talent. My goodness, the people you wrestled back then, Don Morocco, the Iron Sheik, Jesse Ventura, it's just a tremendous list. Tell us about being in the ring with Andre the Giant, especially during that time where he was an enormous star.
Oh, my goodness. But I'm so glad that I became a friend of his, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and we used to, you know, travel together every time. And, you know, like this one time we were, you know, wrestling in a show. And I turned around and I told Andre, I said, brother, you mind if I climb up your shoulder and, you know, superfly? He goes, oh, yes, boss. Oh, yes. You know, such a beautiful man, you know, and I just kind of like, you know, I said, man, I got to take advantage of it. You know, nobody has probably ever dove off his shoulders. You know, so, wow, bro, it worked out so great. It was such a great pleasure to be with this big man, you know. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Big. You know, kind giant, you know. He's got a beautiful heart, bro. God bless him.
I mean, the AWA, you went to Japan, among other territories. And How hard, though, then, once you went to New York, how hard was that transition in 1982?
You know, Bob, in 1982, I was so nervous, right? Because now I know I'm coming to the, you know, the Big Apple and around New York area. And you know, brother, I was so nervous that I'm going, my goodness. You know, my cousins were right, you know. My mind went back to my cousins when they said, someday you're going to be somebody. So, you know, you take care of yourself and work hard. And so when I came up this way, brother, I just went to another level in thinking, you know, about, all right, I'm here now. What do I do?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when I met Vince McMahon Sr., stuff like that, he told me, you know, we'd like Lou Albano to manage you and everything. You know, I said, all right, so that's me and I'm going to be a bad guy, you know, which is right up my aisle, too, because I've been on both sides of the fence, but so it worked out pretty well for me, you know.
Well, there's an interesting quote from Roddy Piper in the book where he says he thinks the WWF made a mistake, actually, working you as a heel because you were so popular at the time. Do you agree with that, looking back, that they should have kept you as a babyface?
Yeah, well, when I first came in, I was a bad guy anyway, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Over here in New Jersey and New York and all these territories, you know, I was a bad guy when I came in. That's why they gave me Lou Albano. I was shocked. I couldn't believe it. And I, you know, thought to myself, I said, okay, you know, he's a heel bad guy, so he wants me to be with him. I said, hey, let's go for it, bro. Let's see how we can, take care of this business, you know?
There's some great stories about Captain Lou in the book. What a character he was.
Oh, brother, what an awesome man. I learned so much from that beautiful brother. God bless him. You know, he was one of the greatest managers there is that I ever communicated with, you know?
Now, when you came in, you worked a great program with Bob Backlund, and it's interesting how your cage match with Don Morocco is so famous, but also you had a great match with Bob Backlund where you missed him off the top of the cage. Which of those two do you remember as being your favorite, or do you love both memories for what they are?
You said it, brother. You said the magic word. They were both the best, man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I had such a good time, you know. By then, brother, my nerves and everything is starting to, like, you know, enter me slowly, you know. You know, thinking about things, you know, and wrestling these different characters. And, you know, brother, I loved it, you know. And when I wrestled Bob Backlund that time, and, you know, in the cage match, and I missed, well, you know, on my ribs, you know, they were kind of upsetting me a little bit. So, you know, when I went back to the locker room, the old man came in and he kneeled down in front of me because I was holding my stomach.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked up at me and he said, my son, he said, are you all right? I just winked at him, brother, and he stood up and he walked right outside. Oh, yeah, bro. He just couldn't believe it, man. You know, I got along so well with that beautiful man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no, God bless him, he's gone now, but, you know, his beautiful son over here, you know, he's such a great character himself, so, you know, I love them, Brian. What a beautiful family.
You talk in the book, Mr. Snuka, about the fact that Vince McMahon, you thought he was going to make you the world champion, and that you were going to be the biggest star, basically, in WWF at the time. Hulk Hogan, though, he was the one who was given that spot. Do you think he's the main reason why that never really happened for you there?
Yes, definitely, brother. You said the right word. You know, I mean, he just came out of the movies and everything, and, you know, that's what, you know, Vince Jr. wanted, you know. So, you know, what can I say? You know, at one time, they came and asked me if I wanted to wrestle Hulk Hogan. I said, yeah, definitely, it'll be great. then I guess Hulk Hogan must have talked about it and, you know, changed the whole thing around again. So I just, I just kept going and doing my thing, brother.
Yeah, it sounds like your relationship with Vince is a little complicated at times. Although you're in the WWE Hall of Fame, which is a wonderful honor, and you have worked with him again at WrestleMania 25. Over the course of your time with him, it's been a little up and down, though, correct?
Yes, it has been. Yes, you're right, brother.
And maybe that's just part of professional wrestling. It's a complicated business.
It is. It is, brother, you know. But the beautiful thing about it is that, I'm going to WrestleMania this one coming up, and I want to thank Brother Vinny, for bringing me back to come and see all the brothers and say hi to the fans in the world, brother.
Well, you'll be at WrestleCon also, I believe, doing public appearance there in April in New York, which is wonderful. And so it's a big weekend for you.
Yeah, so, brother, I'm looking forward to it, brother, And, just sit around and, talk to people and the fans and everybody else. I love to tune in with them, bro.
Going back a little bit to your run in WWF, why were you and Rowdy Roddy Piper such perfect opponents for each other?
Well, brother, we known each other from down in Portland, Oregon,
Mm-hmm.
And so, we got along well and everything, and so, like, every time when I made a move, then they made a move afterwards, following me, Like, we have our own little crew there,
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so then that's how, we did it together, because we known each other, and, we like to work with each other and think about good things to do for both of us and for the company. And that's the way we think all the time, bro.
Then the coconut incident...
You know what, brother? Now that you mention about the coconut, I get headaches, yes, every day, brother. Thinking about it.
I mean, it's really one of the most famous moments in the history of professional wrestling. You've been involved in several of those, even the first WrestleMania.
Yeah, you're right, brother. You're right. I love that. You're talking about The Undertaker?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, wonderful kid, man. Because I knew he was going to be a good performer for our business, and stuff like that. And, Vince just, come up to me and say, Brian, take care of brother. I said, you bet. No problem. So I'm not a glory guy, bro. I love my business. I love what I do. And that's business. To me, that's the way you look at things and, don't be a downer, Do the right thing because that's what's going to boost you up,
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to give you an awful lot of credit because in the book, Mr. Snuka, you're very open about some of the problems you had back in the 80s with the drugs and alcohol and some of your other issues. And so, first of all, I give you credit for that. It was very heartfelt to read. Yours is really a story of redemption.
Thanks, brother. I just, had the time, and I wanted to tell my whole story in the book and everything about my life and just to be honest, so that I can feel good about it, At least if you lie about things, then that's not the Superfly, bro.
How much do you blame the professional wrestling industry for some of the craziness that was going on at the time? Or was it just some of what was inside of yourself, of who you were as a person? It's almost like some of the problems resulted as a combination of both of those factors.
Brother, it's just the way it is,
Mm-hmm.
It's just the way the business is, brother. Like, after the shows, we go drink, do all them crazy things that we're not supposed to, and that's why we're trying to tell the young kids, stay away from, drugs and everything, and take care of yourself, go train, work out, take care of your body, because you just never know that someday you might want to get involved in something that they love so much, brother? Mm-hmm.
Well, after you left the WWF in 1985, you returned to Hawaii, and it, from what I read in the book, it sounds like this really changed you. It really helped you kind of get your life back on the right track.
Yes, sir, you are really right, brother, I went back and took my family and everybody and just went and go relax and, just Because, you know, brother, we used to wrestle like 7 days a week, twice on Sunday. Now, this is every day.
Oof.
Yeah, bro. I don't know if you knew about that, but, you know, but I loved it, you know. You know, it don't matter because I was hungry, man. But I take care of my family here, so it worked out really good, brother. You know, everything that I did and still do, and, you know, I just can't wait to get back in that ring again, bro.
I was there in Atlantic City in 1989 when you came back at WrestleMania 5. They introduced you to the crowd, and then you had a run for a few more years there in the WWF. I know for people that were fans of yours, it was great to see you back in the ring looking so good.
Well, thank you, brother. Like I said, you know, brother's got to take care of number one, bro. You know, got to work hard for it. How bad do you want it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you want it? Well, I want it for a reason, because I want it to be somebody that I can teach and so they can learn, you know, because we're like school teachers when we all wrestle together, you know? And
mm-hmm.
That's one thing I love about is when I can just sit down or wrestle with them and, you know, teach them different things on how to, you know, work the old school way, you know?
Well, you talk in the book about how your second run through the WWF, you were more in that teaching capacity, and you were in the ring with some big stars. You mentioned The Undertaker at WrestleMania. You left in 1992, but you did not retire then, and you may never retire, but you moved on at that point to ECW, becoming their first world champion.
Yeah, that's right, brother.
What are your memories of working with Paul Heyman?
It was great, brother. You know, he's a good guy. You know, but everybody's got a different, you know, different talent and stuff like that. So, you know, when he came in, he was, you know, running the shows and everything. And he's an okay guy, brother. He's an okay guy now. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, everybody's not the same. And, you know, you get to know the good side and the bad side. You know what I mean, bro?
I've read in other people's books that going from Madison Square Garden or a big sellout crowd to the indie scene can be very, very hard. It sounds like because of your love for the business, as long as you're in the ring, you're pretty happy.
That's exactly right, brother. You said the magic word. I love what I do. I love the business. And I'm always going to love it till Loretta super flies to heaven, bro.
Mm-hmm. Looking back on your wrestling career to this point, do you have one match or one moment that does stand out? We certainly as fans have them, but do you have one?
Well, you know what, brother? I'm going to give it to you right now since you asked. You remember the Undertaker streak is still going on, right?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
All right. Who do you think would love to beat him for that, you know, for that streak that he's got?
The Superfly.
There you go, brother. There you go. That's what you got to tell them people out there. That the Superfly is the one that's going to have to break the streak.
Personally, I would like to see the streak broken. So whether it's you or somebody else, I think that would be great.
Oh, brother, it would be lovely. Are you kidding me, bro? We'd have fun with that kid, man.
You know, you're known as an innovator. And as someone who was always kind of pushing the envelope in the ring, can you explain why you were so influential as a performer in the ring to others that could watch and learn from you?
You know, brother, yeah, like I said, brother, I love what I do. I appreciate it. You know, it was a God gift to me and everything, so I had to take it and continue my missionary work on what I'm doing in the ring, bro.
Well, one thing that's very clear in the book, all the quotes from other wrestlers in the business. One thing they say about you, Mr. Snuka, over and over again is how your realism in the ring, you make people believe your character. And I wonder, is there any better compliment for a wrestler than that?
You know what, brother, there is. You know, like me, when I go in the ring, I give it all out what I already planned, brother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for the fans, and they don't know what I'm going to do because I'm always mixing everything up like a soup, you know? yeah, I never give them the same. You know, I always change it around and how I start and how I ended. So, you know, my trademark to my business, I love it so much, and I still do, like I said earlier, but I can't wait to get back into that ring again.
Yeah, and there's a great quote in the book that says, I'm going to fly again, right on page 175. I'm going to fly again. Hopefully that'll be soon. Do you think that physically you'll be able to do that soon?
Well, I'm delayed, like I said, brother. I'm the Superfly Bionic Man now.
Right. Now, of course, your family has followed you into wrestling. Jimmy Jr. wrestled, of course, as Deuce in WWE. Your daughter, Tamina, as Tamina Snuka here, also a diva now in World Wrestling Entertainment. What a proud moment to see them in the ring, huh?
Oh, brother, my heart beats every day knowing that. Beats every day, and I'm so proud. Because the first thing that I told my kids, you have to graduate from high school, and you have to graduate from college. Because I've been training them all them years while they're going to school, you know, preparing them. And when they graduated, brother, that made me happy. And I said, now you're ready. Because, you know, I was happy. I didn't mind. I wanted to go and wrestle. I said, okay, it's the plan. It's all yours now.
I met Tamina in Atlanta in 2011 as part of WrestleMania 27. And absolutely great girl. She carries herself with a lot of poise and confidence. Certainly someone you can be really proud of.
Yeah, thank you very much, brother. She's a really good girl.
In the book, you talk about getting married to Carol and how she really improved and changed your life. Can you give us a little bit of, you know, how your life has really been changed since you got remarried?
Well, you know, brother, during the time that I was not wrestling in the WWE at the time, you know, I was kind of like in a downer, you know, trying to think what would be the right thing to do. And I just happened to, you know, be in a wrestling show and stuff. And when that was over, you know, me and my buddies would go down to the bar and, you know, I'd just have a couple of drinks and stuff. And then all of a sudden, I met this beautiful redneck girl, you know. And I said, oh, my goodness. And this one, the other blonde was chasing me. She's been chasing me. So I just happened to go down there and say hi to these two sisters, you know. I said, can you guys do me a favor? That girl over there, the blonde girl, has been chasing me around. Can I just hang here with you two beautiful ladies? And they said, no, it's fine. And brother, they saved my life. And my wife, I met with her sister. You know, it's incredible, but I'm so grateful. And, you know, that I ended up meeting my wife, Carol, and I became a different man, brother. I became a different man all over.
That's excellent. I did not know that the movie The Wrestler was going to be based on your life.
You know, I get so-so, you know, about it. And because actually, I think I was supposed to be, you know, part of it and stuff, and I don't know what happened. But, yeah, I met the brother, you know, and it worked out pretty good.
And the other thing I did not know, Mr. Snook, is you're a big Elvis Presley fan.
Yes, sir, I am, brother. You bet.
I'm a big Elvis fan, too. That's why I like that. There's a great quote in your book about the fans are the best part of the business. Why is that?
Oh, yes. Well, what can you do? I'm in this business. That's it, brother.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. It's the whole world, bro. Yeah, you know, that you can't do without them. I love them, you know, and without the fans, there's no business, brother.
Where can your fans find you? Do you have a website, a Facebook page, or are you on Twitter? Where can your fans reach out and find the Superfly?
You know, www.jimmysuperflysnooker.com.
We'll certainly post that with the interview and make sure people can reach out to you there. Before we let you go, Mr. Snook, I just have a few more questions. And one of the things that I always find interesting is, who do you like to watch today? When you get to watch professional wrestling, who do you think today could be, you know, a future Hall of Famer or really makes you excited?
To be honest with you, brother, my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I can't wait. I wait every week to see what's happening.
And her tribute to you with her finishing move, her Superfly Splash, is pretty spectacular.
Hey, better. She's better than me, bro.
Well, listen, I want to finish up here with my favorite quote in the book. On page 23, it says, quote, "My whole life, I've just been a bad boy trying to be a good man." Do you think that sums up better than anything else the Superfly?
Yes, sir, brother, because it's true.
Yeah, that's a great quote. And I thought this was a fantastic book. Again, the book called Superfly, The Jimmy Snuka Story, in stores now. I highly recommend it. I learned an awful lot. And again, thank you so much for joining me today.
Brother, thank you very much for calling us and having us in your radio dial. You keep up the good work, brother. God bless you and Happy New Year, my friend.
Thank you, and I'm glad that you're doing well physically. Look forward to seeing you in the ring soon.
Thank you very much. I hope so, brother. I'll be there.
Best wishes.
Best to you.
Now check out the OWW website at onlineworldofwrestling.com for the latest news, analysis, and updates from the world of professional wrestling. While you're there, you can also catch up on past episodes of OWW Radio. Email us at radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com to submit topics or questions you would like us to discuss on an upcoming broadcast. Also, make sure to follow us on Twitter at OWWCOM to get all program updates and announcements. We'll also be posting directly to the official OWW Facebook homepage. Until next time, I am David. Thank you again to the Superfly, Jimmy Snuka, WWE Hall of Famer and wrestling legend. Make sure you check out his book, Superfly, The Jimmy Snuka Story, written by Jimmy Snuka and John Chapman. I highly recommend it. It's really entertaining. It was an honor to have him on the show today. We hope you enjoyed it. And we'll be back soon with another edition of OWW Radio. All right, well that's